2019 open public meeting of the Arizona State Personnel Board is hereby called to order. Robin, would you please do a roll call?
Mark Siska.
Here.
Harmony DuPort.
Here.
Joe Beers.
Here.
Chad Kirkpatrick.
Here.
I acknowledge that Robin Van Staten, board staff, and Jeff Topple, counsel for the board, are also in attendance. I'd like to call for public comments. I think that we have a request for public comment.
Yes.
Anna?
And unlike what I'm usually before you, I'm going to try to be brief and non-argumentative.
Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. My request today, I know I can only ask you to look into things, and what I'm asking the board to do is kind of just take a review of your system of issuing and enforcing subpoenas. And my reason for asking this is the witness subpoenas, the way they're issued now is once I serve a subpoena on a witness, that witness can object to the subpoena, and they have to object within the earlier of 14 days after I serve it, or the date for compliance. And because these hearings, as you know, are streamlined and everything happens relatively quickly, usually when I serve a subpoena, it's less than 14 days before the hearing. So what I'm left with is a situation where a witness who could be, you know, just depending on the case, it could be the most crucial witness in the case, they can call on the morning of the hearing and go, by the way, I objected, I'm not showing up today. And what that leaves, you know, it not only causes a delay because then we have to either do the hearing without the witness or we have to go to the Superior Court and try to get enforcement of that witness subpoena. But going to the Superior Court for my clients who are appellants that for the most part have just been fired, don't have any income, going to the Superior Court and going through that additional process is an expense that most of them just can't take on at that point. And the other thing is not only can they not take on the expense, but that means an additional delay, not just for the time to make the decision, but what likely is going to happen in that situation is that the hearing itself is going to have to be rescheduled. And in that situation, I can speak from my experience, it's not really that simple to reschedule a hearing because you have to consider the availability of the attorneys, all of the witnesses, and the hearing officer. And sometimes that can, you know, require that usually it requires us to go beyond the amount of time that is allowed by the personnel board to even have the initial hearing. So I'm not asking you today to make a change, but what I'm asking you to do is take a look at it because it's something that for my clients, it is a big concern. And, you know, the other issue that I have with it is in a recent case that I had, one of the witnesses actually sent his objection to the personnel board, and I didn't even know that he had objected. So, you know, I ended up releasing the witnesses because so many of them objected during that hearing. So I determined to just do the case with my client as the witness, and I think I had a couple other witnesses. But, you know, I'm not asking, like I said, not asking the board to do something, but asking them to take a look at this just because the way that it's currently set up is almost unworkable for the appellants. And if there's anything that I can do, if the board wants me to do a more in-depth report to you or provide you with additional information, or, you know, I'd be willing if you're setting up a committee to, you know, call attorneys that represent respondents and attorneys that represent appellants, you know, anything that I can do for the board, I'm happy to do it. But, you know, again, I know today all I can ask is that you take a look. And, you know, what in a perfect world, what I would like to do is if somebody objects, to be able to have the hearing officer rule on it immediately, whether or not it's a valid objection. Because, you know, as you know, these hearings move quickly. The timing for, you know, how soon we can do things, the timing's generally pretty short. And just, you know, the expense and time of going to the court to enforce a subpoena is, you know, for my, speaking for my clients and my experience, it's something they can't afford to do. So just asking that you look, and happy to answer any questions, or like I said, if the board wants to, you know, ask me to do anything, I'm happy to do what I can to help.
Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay.
I have two.
Oh, yeah.
I have two. Number one, when someone objects, is there a typical reason why they would object to being called?
You know, I've been doing these cases for over 10 years, and this case that I recently had a couple months, I think it was about a month ago, was the first time I ever had any witness object. And in that case, there were, I don't have it off the top of my head. I'm going to say at least 3 witnesses out of the 6 or 7 that I called, it was about half of them, I think, or more than half, objected. Some of them objected because they didn't think that they were going to be paid. And the rules, the personnel rules, say that if someone is called and they're an employee of the agency, that they will get paid. But the witness, for some reason, some of the witnesses that I received objections from were not aware that they were going to be compensated. So that was their basis. Other ones, speaking from my own experience, I believe that at least one of the witnesses that recently objected thought that he would be, he conveyed to me that he felt that he would be targeted if he appeared on behalf of the appellant against the agency that employed him. I don't know whether that was a basis founded in fact. Really, that wasn't my concern, but that was his feeling, is that he was afraid to appear.
So has that issue been clarified then with the employees about pay?
I didn't have the opportunity to clarify it with them because I don't have contact information for these witnesses.
But is that a question that exists in our kind of practices?
It's, in my opinion, it's pretty clear from the rules that these witnesses, in that situation, these witnesses should have all been compensated. Again, I can speak from my opinion. I think that my witnesses were led to believe that they would not be compensated. But I that's not my point of being here today, but I think that they were misled as to whether or not compensation was available. But I don't think that legally there's any question that they would have been and should have been compensated for their appearance.
And this is the first time it's happened in 10 years?
First time in 10 years, and I believe, again, just speaking from my experience, I believe the reason it happened is that in this particular case, the hearing officer did not require the agency to give me contact information for the witnesses, but instead required that the attorney for the agency accept service of the subpoena, witness subpoenas, and then serve them for me. And when those subpoenas were served, they were served with a cover letter. And that cover letter pointed out multiple times to the potential witness that they had the opportunity to object, told the potential witness, or told the subpoenaed witness, that the department, the agency, was not requiring compliance with the subpoena. And I think that that made some of these witnesses feel free to just ignore the subpoena and object. And again, most of them in that particular situation, I know that your subpoena, when you issue it, says you have to object in writing to this address. It's supposed to come to me. Some of them objected over the phone, some objected via email, like one at least objected by sending documentation directly to the board. And all of these people, after doing what they thought was the proper procedure, felt that they didn't need to appear because, the subpoena also says if you object, you don't have to comply. So okay.
Thanks for your comments. Let us consider that. And I'd like to talk to counsel a little bit about that and understand exactly what, how they're enforced and what the law is, because this is the first time it's come to us. So
I appreciate that, and if there's anything that your counsel needs, please feel free to contact me, and I'll do what I can to assist.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, seeing any comments? No other public comments? Okay. Our second item is the consideration of the dismissal appeal of Gustavo Vargas versus Department of Corrections. And I have Ms. Story, did you want to speak on that behalf?
If I can informally just say that we're making a joint request to continue this to the next board meeting. We have worked out a settlement, but it hasn't been finalized yet. So there is a good chance that before the next meeting, I am going to be withdrawing the appeal on behalf of Mr. Vargas, but we're not at a point to do that just yet.
So do I understand that you're requesting that we table this until the next meeting?
Correct. That's my request.
The department joins.
Okay. So there's a joint request to table till the next meeting. Board members, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Does anybody have a motion to that effect?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move the Gustavo Vargas First Department of Corrections case to the next scheduled meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd second that.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anybody opposed? None. So we'll move that forward. All right. I think we're at adjournment. So I move that we adjourn. Second?
I second that.
And a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No. We're adjourned.
Should we do it? I forgot to do a roll call, but it was unanimous.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.